导游英语第二版，由高等教育出版社、高等教育电子音像出版社出版发行。
Unit 1. Meeting the Tour Group. Part A. Know-how for Tour Guides. 1. Preparations for meeting the tour group. Miss Wang Junling, a new guide from China Beijing International Travel Service, will pick up the Browns at the Beijing International Airport at 7 this evening. She is making preparations for meeting tourists. The manager helps her to prepare the documents and reminds her of the important points she should remember as a local guide. 1. Listen carefully and fill in the blanks with the words or phrases you've just heard.
1. A guide should dress decently, especially on the occasion of meeting the tour group at the airport. Tattoos and dyed hair are not appropriate for a guide. No guides are allowed to wear shorts, a sleeveless shirt, or sandals.
2. A male guide should not wear shorts or wear his cap backwards or sideways. A female guide may dress casually, but should not wear the miniskirt and have excessive makeup.
3. A guide should remember the details of the reception program before he picks up tourists at the airport. A reception program should include name of travel agency, group code, name of tour leader or national guide, names and numbers of tourists, arrival time, modes of transport, accommodation, and so on.
2. Listen again and answer the following questions.
1. What does a guide usually wear when he goes to meet tourists at the airport?
2. Do you think a guide should know the details of the reception program? Why or why not? 2. Meeting tourists at the airport. Miss Wang Junling gets all the documents ready and calls the driver to get off to see the Browns at the airport. Before she leaves, the manager gives her more suggestions. Miss Wang takes notes while the manager lists the main requirements of meeting tourists. 1. Listen carefully and match the information in column A with that in column B. There are two extra items in column B.
1. Prior to arrival of the tour group. Confirm the arrival time of the tour group. Arrive at airport 30 minutes prior to the arrival time and confirm the exact parking place. Reconfirm exact arrival time. Contact porter and inform him of the luggage area. Stand at a highly visible location in the exit, in full view of arriving tourists with a card board.
2. Upon arrival of the tour group. Meet the tour group and check the group code, number of tourists and name of the national guide or tour leader. Make sure that all the luggage has been claimed and collected by porter and transferred to the coach. Take the tour group to the coach and stand by the door to politely greet tourists and count the number of tourists.
3. En route to the hotel. Greet tourists cordially or deliver a welcome speech. Inform foreign tourists of the local time. Give a brief introduction to local customs, location of the hotel and so on. Inform tourists of first meeting place and parking place, if applicable.
2. Listen again and answer the following questions.
1. How does a guide meet tourists at the airport when they arrive?
2. What does a guide serve tourists on the way to the hotel? Part B. Listening comprehension. The Browns are flying to Beijing from New York, the United States, by Air China. The plane will land at the airport within 2.5 hours. Now they are watching the travel log of The Temple of Earth on TV, one of important tourist sites in Beijing. 1. Listen to the passage and fill in the blanks with the words or phrases you've just heard.
The Temple of Earth. The Temple of Earth, located outside the Gate of Earthly Tranquility, was initially built in 1530, the ninth year under the reign of Emperor Jing, known formally as Feng Zhitan, water-surrounded square altar. It was changed into the present name in 1534, the 13th year in the reign of the same emperor. The key building in the temple is the sacrificial altar, and all other buildings and setups are the subordinates. The sacrificial altar, facing south and backed at north, is a two-tiered square altar built of stone slabs. On all four sides, it is rounded up with yellow glazed bricks. Next only to the Temple of Heaven in size, it is the largest altar for offering sacrifices to the God of Earth in China. The Temple of Earth is a sacrificial altar on which emperors of the Ming and Qing dynasties came to offer their sacrifices to the God of Earth every year. Taking up the system of the rites of Zhou Dynasty, emperors of the Ming and Qing dynasties came early in the morning every summer solstice to offer sacrifices to the God of Earth and the gods of five sacred mountains, etc. Besides, at every grand occasion of the country, such as a new emperor coming to the throne, imperial wedding, conferring the title of queen, the emperor would send a prince to pray to the gods here on his behalf.
2. Listen to the passage again and answer the following questions.
1. What is the original name of the Temple of Earth? When did the temple get its present name?
2. Which is the largest altar for offering sacrifices to the God of Earth in China?
3. When did the emperors of the Ming and Qing dynasties come to offer their sacrifices? What gods did they worship besides the God of Earth?
4. On which occasions did the emperors send a prince to the Temple of Earth to pray to the gods? Part D. Situational dialogue. The Great Wall. It is sunny today. Now they are travelling to the Juyongguan Pass by coach. Mr. Brown becomes excited and wants to prove that he is a man, a real man, because he was told that no man can be regarded as a real man in China unless he stands on the Great Wall. 1. Listen to the dialogue and decide whether the statements are true or false. If it is true, put T in the space provided, and F if it is false.
Mr. Brown, why are you so interested in the Great Wall?
You told me yesterday that no man can be regarded as a real man unless he stands on the Great Wall.
I'm kidding. I mean that the Great Wall is the landmark of China. No foreigners would miss it when they travel in China.
I see. Why is it called the Great Wall?
The Great Wall is also called Wan Li Chang Cheng. It literally means 10,000 li, long wall. Li is the Chinese measurement, which equals to half a kilometre. The total length of the Great Wall is more than 6,700 kilometres.
That's great. Then why did the Chinese build a wall here?
Walls were first built at strategic points by different kingdoms during the Warring States to protect the northern territories. In 221 BC, Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of China, had the walls joined together to fend off the invasions from the Huns.
Where does the Great Wall lie?
It lies 75 kilometres northwest of Beijing. To be more exact, it extends from Shanhai Guan Pass, a seaport along the coast of Bohai Bay in the east, to Jiayuguan Pass in Gansu province in the west.
I think it's a magnificent project. Since it is a great wall, I'd like to know how great it is.
The wall is about 7.8 metres high, 6.5 metres wide at the base, and 5.8 metres wide at the top. A watchtower was built every 100 metres.
It is really a great wall. I think it is fantastic to drive on the Great Wall because the wall extends more than 6,000 kilometres from the east to west. We could enjoy the landscape on the way.
It sounds good, but nobody is allowed to drive on the Great Wall. It was listed on the World Cultural Heritage Site by UNESCO in 1987.
You're serious? I'm just kidding.
Well, we're reaching the Juyongguan Pass. It is one of the three greatest passes on the Great Wall. Most of the Chinese praise it as the number one pass under heaven. You may take photos there.
A good idea. 2. Divide the class into groups and do the dialogue. Pay attention to your body language. Part E. Introduction to Tourist Site. Early next morning, Miss Wang Junling takes the Browns to the Imperial Palace. It is the largest and most well-preserved royal palace in China. Now they arrive at the entrance to the palace. 1. Listen to the passage and remember the places of interest, events and features of the Imperial Palace.
1. To know the history of the Imperial Palace will help tourists appreciate its cultural significance. You may first introduce the background of this royal palace.
2. The Meridian Gate, also known as Wu Feng Liu, Five Phoenix Tower, is the main entrance to the Imperial Palace.
3. The Golden Water River, on which five bridges span across, is well recommended. You may focus on your introduction of their practical usage and their symbolic meaning.
4. The Hall of Supreme Harmony, known as the Throne Hall, is most magnificent among the three main halls in the Royal Palace, where tourists can view the Imperial Throne.
The Imperial Palace. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Imperial Palace, also known as the Purple Forbidden City. It is the largest and most well-preserved imperial residence in China. Under Emperor Yongle of the Ming Dynasty, the construction of the palace began in 1406. Manpower and materials throughout the country were used to build the Imperial Palace. More than 230,000 artisans and 1 million labourers were employed. It took 14 years to build the Imperial Palace. For five centuries, it continued to be the residence of 23 successive emperors, until 1911, when the last emperor, Puyi, of the Qing Dynasty, was forced to abdicate the throne. Now we're standing in front of the Meridian Gate. It is the main entrance to the Imperial Palace. It is also known as Wu Feng Liu, Five Phoenix Tower. Ming emperors held banquets here on the 15th day of the first month of the Chinese lunar year, in honour of their courtiers. They also used this place for punishing officials by flogging them with sticks. In the Qing Dynasty, emperors used this place to have other important ceremonies. When the imperial army returned victoriously from the battlefield, it was here that the emperor presided over the ceremony to accept prisoners of war. You may have seen a winding brook before us. It is the Golden Water River. Why did people dig a river channel here? It has two reasons. First, it functions as decoration for the Imperial Palace. Second, it's used for the fire control. There are five bridges across the river, and each represents the five virtues preached by Confucius: benevolence, righteousness, rights, intelligence, and fidelity. The river takes the shape of a bow, and the north-south axis is its arrow. This layout shows that the emperors ruled the country on behalf of heaven. Now, we are walking across the bridge and entering the courts of the palace. Here is the Gate of Supreme Harmony. The gate is guarded by a pair of bronze lions, which symbolize imperial power and dignity. The one on the east, playing with a ball, is a male, and the ball is said to represent state unity. The other one is a female. Underneath one of its four claws is a cub, that is considered to be a symbol of everlasting imperial succession. The Hall of Supreme Harmony is also called Throne Hall. In the centre of the hall, a gilded throne carved with dragon figures is set on a platform. Behind the throne, there is a screen with vivid dragon pattern. On each side of the throne stand statues of elephants, Ludwen, a kind of mythical animal, cranes and incense burners of different types. Ladies and gentlemen, you have visited the Hall of Supreme Harmony. What do you think of the Grand Hall, especially the layout of the gilded throne? I'll take you to see other magnificent buildings in the palace. To complete this solemn and magnificent imperial palace, a variety of building patterns were applied. Most of the important buildings in the palace were arranged on a north-south axis, an invisible centre line. The design and arrangement of the palaces reflect the solemn dignity of the royal court and the stratified feudal system. We'll walk along the centre line to see more grand halls and have a splendid cultural tour of the imperial palace. The next hall we are going to visit is the Hall of Complete Harmony. This way, please.
2. Make a simulated introduction of the tourist site and try to animate your introduction using proper body language.